Welcome to our show, Geek Swag, where we talk about video games, movies, TV, comic books, technology, and TLDR, the Internet of Things, in our new podcast room.
That's right. It's a very nice room, too.
Live from the new studio.
Yes.
Yeah.
With the Batman gray wall.
As exactly.
Posted that on Instagram.
Batman, I like would it. Improve.
It's not the Joker purple wall.
I know. Are you still going to do it?
The Joker purple wall?
You can have him doing opposite.
No, I painted over the Joker purple wall.
Oh.
This is the Batcave.
Okay.
Joker's sort of garish. He's gauche.
Yeah.
So, with all the hiccups and everything and the moving, all the stuff and things, we're also a little shy at the moment for the podcast, but we have people.
Exactly. It's enough. We'll get it done.
Yes. So, this week, so far, we have Joe.
Hello.
And Jordan.
How's it going?
And me, Bill. Hi.
Hey, Bill.
And so, missing out on a week, we missed out on a few things. So, we're going to play a little catch up and we're going to still talk about new fun things. One of the things, we're totally just going to jump into this one, was Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Awesome.
It's over.
Well, this season's over.
Yeah.
So, what do you guys think?
Yeah, I approve of that season. I thought it's way better than season 5.
It was inconsistent, though, wasn't it? It was sort of... I remember talking to Joe after episode 8, and are we doing spoilers or non-spoilers right now?
Let's do non-spoilers.
Non-spoilers?
Yeah.
Well, there's a resolution to the... plot line in Braavos, which I did not approve of. And there's a lot of anticlimactic sequences in that, I thought. So that kind of degraded my enjoyment of the season, but they really made up for it in the final 2 episodes, which I thought were some of the best Game of Thrones has ever done.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I think that even the field, and it wasn't my favorite season, but it was not the most disappointing season for me, even close. And so I liked it.
Yeah, it was fun. That was the one issue, is because I was hoping that with this season, since it's not going off the books, that it would be even more nerve-wracking, but it was really predictable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
yeah.
I thought, like, I'd read all the books before and knew what was going to happen, and I still felt more shocked in earlier seasons when I knew it was going to happen than this season when stuff that I was like, yeah. There's a couple of things, like in the finale, that didn't know exactly how it was going to play out, but nothing was... I don't know. Everyone was kind of playing out. And I don't know if it's because they were tired of their fans, because I thought every season, a Game of Thrones season should end with, like, I'm done with this show. And this season was all about, okay, good guys can win all the time now.
But, Joe, did you predict they would become predictable?
No. That's unpredictable. Mm. Which it was fine, because when they did it, there's only minor complaints about it, because the stuff that was... You knew it was going to play out like the big battle episode, but it didn't matter because it was so awesome.
Yes,
so it's okay.
Execution is everything. I use that argument in defense of Star Wars. I use it in defense of Bill, even though I know you don't like it, Avatar. And
you mean The Last Airbender? Yeah, those have epic battles in them.
They are predictable. Avatar The Last Airbender is really predictable too, and I love that show.
No. Actually, no, you saying that Avatar with the blue... Smurf cats.
The very same.
That is predictable. So yes. Actually, you're not saying that it's grand. You're actually agreeing with me.
Yeah.
That it's predictable and it's boring.
But it's not boring. It's
good.
Predictable.
Yeah. The argument being that even if it's predictable, if the execution is well done, then it doesn't matter if it's predictable. It's still enjoyable.
And they pass the threshold with like that battle was as good or better than anything you can see in movies.
Very true.
Like, you go back and watch, like, Gladiator and stuff, too, which I still love, and all the Lord of the Rings, and I'm like, man, that was just right on there. It looked like a movie.
It was like Saving Private Ryan redo. And
there. Yeah, actually, that movie would have been a better scene. What? But that's kind of Saving Private Ryan.
Well, talk about the worst scene, but Steven Spielberg and $100 million on that. But I would say that Saving Private Ryan, it's World War II. But this one was the equivalence in medieval warfare. It really depicted that it doesn't matter how skillful you are,
All you need, battle. Yeah. All you need is a giant.
You need exactly. a giant who mysteriously doesn't have a weapon.
Like, that you're a giant. Do you need a weapon? You pick up the enemy, and you have a weapon.
You should at least like made a giant tree shield. Yeah. That would have saved him a lot.
Yeah, they could have. Well, no spoilers, but certain battle tactics would have been impossible with a giant with a log.
Yeah.
Well, I did kind of expect them to initially do the like the way Alexander the Great did battles. So it was kind of weird when they... How it went through.
Was inspired by the Hannibal battle. Well, according to the producers, the Battle of Cannae. Mm-hmm. And but it also was initially inspired by the Battle of Agincourt, I think, is what they said. And I don't know anything about that battle. It's just something they cited. I'm more familiar with the Roman tactics of encircling or envelopment.
Yeah.
And it was really well depicted, especially the crush sequence. I mean, I'm trying not to spoil it. It's hard going into details of what makes this battle so phenomenal without going into the details of the battle itself. But yeah, certain things that have been depicted on screen have never been depicted anywhere else that I know of. And the crush sequence, that was unique.
All right.
And it was impromptu. The director... There in the script, there's another sequence written, and they didn't have the time to do it because the weather was so horrible.
Oh.
So he just said, "Let's do this," and it worked out marvelously.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was good. It's definitely the best major battle thing of the series.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. And then episode 10 had probably the best introduction sequence of Game of Thrones ever.
So yeah, episode 10, the first like 5 minutes. I actually expect it to be the most boring episode of the entire season. That first 5 minutes, I was like, this is terrible. I can't believe they're going to go through with this. Oh.
never mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just really love the music in that. The composer, Raman Djawabi, I think did a phenomenal job because almost the entirety of the first 20 minutes was... There are hardly any lines at all, and it was just the cinematography, the direction, and the music that carried it. And it was really, really the buildup. I thought was just really, really entertaining and thrilling. And the culmination, of course, is a really good twist.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, so it'll be fun. And me and Jordan were talking about too that it gives you hope that. They will be able to finish the series with all plot lines concluded. So that's good, although with the shortened seasons.
The creators are kind of like the Targaryens. You flip a coin. Is it going to be good? Is it going to be bad?
Yeah.
No. Because I don't think they've done something unforgivably bad. But again, episode 8 was probably one of the weaker things in my mind because they made a lot of missteps. Apparently attributed to the director because the chase sequence was all his idea. The ferocity of the end of episode 7.
Hmm.
That was his idea where someone was attacked.
Oh.
Yeah, that was his idea.
Oh, okay.
And so, I don't know, it seemed like the director had made a couple of pretty bad decisions. But then you get a different director who's tremendously talented and you get episode 9 and 10. And he's the same guy who did Hard Home, too.
Mm-hmm. And that's the nice thing about having... series that you can change the directors out through episodes and
yeah I know. It is nice because I think some of them fit better, like they were using Neil Marshall forever for the big battles and he was really good, so
yeah, he did Blackwater and Watchers on yeah
so also with this the IMDb has rated 2 of these episodes as a perfect 10.
That is true. Yep,
from the
so
viewers
far. Yeah, and so far based on IMDb, I think Battle of the Bastards has 115,000 ratings, and it has so far it's 10, and Winds of Winter has 70,000, and so that's also 10. The nearest comparison is Ozymandias from Breaking Bad, and that has almost 80,000 ratings, and that's a 10, and so it's shortly to be eclipsed.
Mm.
And so, yeah, that sets Game of Thrones apart. People may argue whether it's deserved or not, but that's how it is as at the moment.
So with that, though, you're talking about your top five favorite TV shows.
Okay.
So how were we, you guys were trying to define that earlier.
Oh, yeah, we should define a show. That's what we were arguing about before.
Well, okay, so what can be in your, can we cover comedies to, you know, horror? Yeah,
I wanted to do.
Does it have to, how many episodes does it have to have?
Doesn't have to be. I just said it has to have episodes because we talked about movies that are made, like Adam Sandler does his movies for Netflix. And it's like, no, that's not a show. It's just a movie. So it has to have episodes. But so genres, I didn't care. Doesn't
could,
matter.
Could it be two episodes?
Yeah,
you know, like a Lifetime special.
Yeah. Two episodes. I can't think of anything. Well, we were saying if we include miniseries, that would fit.
Yeah, let's include two episodes. So minimal two episodes. Or
it just can't be one
episodes.
Self-contained thing.
So
that's
it.
Too much like a movie.
Yeah.
The Sunday night, it took 2 weeks to tell the story.
Yeah, that would count.
Okay.
Yeah, that would count. I'd feel like the TV adaptation they did of Dune, that would kind of fit because they release it like a four-hour movie, but it was like released in episodes.
Okay.
For sci-fi. Not that that's on my list.
Yeah.
Not that I hate it, but it's not top five.
It's, yeah, that was not a very good adaptation. Yeah. I mean, it was a great story. I love Dune, but it hasn't had a really good adaptation yet.
Okay. So this is totally impromptu. We were just gonna do this.
Yeah.
So what do you guys have on your list? Do you have your top five in your mind?
I know.
You have
top five.
I'm gonna have to think about mine. So you guys go, and I'll.
Jordan, you go first.
I know you're part of your list at least. So
I just have to go with my gut. I'm gonna say South Park, because I've been watching that forever.
Is that your number five? Are you doing these in order? Let's go.
No. That's his number one, I'm sure.
Yeah, that's probably my number one. Okay. The other ones aren't so much particularly in order. So I'd say that. Then I would rank, then I'd throw Game of Thrones and Breaking Bad in there, because I've rewatched both those. So that's three. And then I would say Cowboy Bebop, because I've watched that a million times. And then, honestly, when I was thinking about all my crime shows, I love Luther. I love
that
show that so
really
much because that show was just never bad, and it had a really great central character, and it had a really awesome supporting character in Alice. And so that's a show that I was thinking about the other day, and I was like, I want to rewatch that because I love that show.
Well, I need to, because they released more seasons, I want to see if it holds up because I loved it to the end too. I think it was 12 episodes. No, it was a little more than that. 15, 14?
Yeah, it was summer. It was only like 13 or 14 max.
Yeah, and all of them were really good. It came off, it finished really strong.
I think it was 14 because I think they had like 2 4 episodes and then 1 6 episode.
Yeah, that's
season.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, Luther is a tremendously good show.
And I love Idris Elba. That's one of my favorite roles of him.
Have you seen this show, Bill? Luther?
No.
It's,
no, I haven't.
Have you seen Sherlock?
The BBC one?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's like Sherlock, only as Sherlock is super depressed and corrupt, and he always fails.
Yeah,
he's brilliant, but he shows up just at the wrong time.
Yeah, you don't get to kick the door open right when the serial killer's going there for. He, like, kicks the door open when the serial killer's, like, fist stab in. And he's like, no, I busted you, but I was too late.
And it's really enjoyable because you can see the consequence of all this horrible stuff that Luther witnesses. It's so well portrayed because it makes an impact on Luther. It really affects him, and you just see this build and build in him, and he's just this character of martyrdom. Ooh. And you just see him suffer throughout the entire series.
Yeah, and it's so broody, and it matches the balance between, like, you have to suspend your disbelief because there's a lot of times you'd be like, yeah, he would have just been fired. So there's times where they, for the sake of the plot, they forgive him. But then there's other times, too, that for the sake of it, too, they're like, no, you're not allowed to do that, and you're getting in lots of trouble for doing that. And so they balance it pretty well. I'm not going to say it's perfect. It's not like The Wire, but as far as like being totally grounded in realism, but as far as balancing the, I'm the crooked cop, but I'm a good cop, but I break the rules, mm-hmm. and his superiors like dilemmas with that. It does it good. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's a good list.
All right.
Is your third Jordan? Yeah. Speaking of The Wire, I have to, as much as I love Game of Thrones and Breaking Bad, I have to declare The Wire my pretty easily, I'd even say, my number one television series of all time. And I don't think that it's my favorite thing of anything ever made on film. Ooh. Like, I consider it better than any movie, any television series, anything. There are books that I like equivalent to The Wire, but as far as I'm concerned, The Wire is as good as anything can get. That being said, after The Wire, I'd say I agree with Joe that I consider Breaking Bad and Game of Thrones, like, they're next. I wouldn't say one is better than the other. I think Breaking Bad is more consistent. I don't think it's had a bad episode. And Game of Thrones has, as I mentioned, it's made its missteps. But I think Game of Thrones more often touches highs that Breaking Bad doesn't. And so even though it has its lows, it compensates by reaching higher more often. And so they're on the same level. And then after that, I would say Band of Brothers. Yeah, I love that show. It's a great show. And then after that, right now, I'm thinking Wolf Hall.
Huh.
Which is it's basically centered on Thomas Cromwell, who's my hero of all time. And yeah, it's a BBC miniseries that was recently released and stars Mark Rylance, who is in Bridge of Spies, just won his Academy Award. And he's excellent. Everyone's excellent in that show. It's, yeah, that's a terrific show. That's my list for now.
Okay.
What about you?
All right. So going through, I still got to make sure I have five, but we're going to go with Batman, the Animated Series.
Okay.
Star Wars, Clone Wars. And both, yeah, Batman, the Animated Series is just the best of all cartoons.
I want to watch that.
I've
really
seen it.
Yeah. I still think it holds up. It does a great job with Kevin Conroy as, yep, Batman, mm, and Mark Hamill as the Joker. Mm-hmm. And these are just, they made these characters classic.
And it really kicks off with Clayface.
I think you're right. Yeah. I don't know. I'd have to go back and watch it.
Yeah, I think it is in the second or third season.
You can watch on Netflix, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to watch that. Yeah.
It is a good show.
Star Wars Clone Wars actually made me enjoy episode 1 through 3 again.
My Netflix is screaming at me to watch that. It's one of those 4.5-star recommendation things. So.
Oh, come on. At least it gives you 4.5. It goes with these. Like, these are the shows that we recommend you to watch, and we expect you to give this a 0-star rating. But we recommend that you would probably like this. Like, at what point?
I know. Do you think
why is this on this list?
Especially with the Netflix originals, where they're like, we don't have any conflicting interests whatsoever.
Watch it, please.
We just got this on Netflix. You should watch it. We think you'll hate it, but it's on your list of stuff you'll enjoy. The Clone Wars, just great in-between story. It's not Anakin going, oh, but I'm the chosen one. My mommy's dead, and, you know, I'm it. And I should be just become Darth Vader to become cool. No, the Clone Wars is this. No, Anakin's like, no, he is the best. He proves how good he is. And you see the struggle that he actually does become Darth Vader. And, like, you know, why, like, Darth Vader, where he, like, picks up the general or one of the officers in the first one, starts choking him right there. And Darkin goes, Lord Vader, please quit.
Yeah.
It's like, no, like, that's total, like, in honesty, that's him calmed down. Anakin probably would have, like, picked him up and thrown him out through the wall.
Do you like Clone Wars in conjunction with Rebels?
Yes.
Do you consider it a single continuum, or is
they're
independent?
They're independent. I'm still Rebels isn't in the top five. It's up there.
Mm.
But I still highly enjoy it. I still highly recommend it.
Okay.
But Clone Wars definitely had, there's a couple of episodes that was kind of like, oh, this is kind of for kids, but there's quite a few that were very adult and very, you know, more for the, you know, the fans and all that. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of backstory and everything.
All right.
Let's see what else we got. The Twilight Zone. No, not Twilight Zone. The Outer Limits. Wow. I like the Twilight Zone. Twilight Zone's up there, but I like the Outer Limits the better.
'80s one.
No, there was a '60s and there was a '90s.
Oh, it was the '90s. Okay,
because the '90s one was made by Showtime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember watching the '90s one.
Yeah.
So are you talking about the '60s one then?
I'm talking both. I'm just going to put them into one because they kind of copied each other in certain points. And they both, you know, Twilight, the reason I like The Outer Limits over Twilight, Twilight Zone's lots of fun,
mm-hmm.
same concept and everything, but it was very much like, oh, mystical things happen. The Outer Limits was, we have technology, we kind of figure out how we're going to deal with this, or aliens come down, and are we going to shoot them? Should we befriend them? Okay, we shoot them. Oh, they were friends. Now they're going to kill us. Oh, we are going to befriend them. Oh, they're enemies. They're going to kill us. You know, you have to, like, how do you balance this? You know, see, one of my episodes was everyone is implanted with chips except for this, like, 0.5% that can't take the chip.
Mm-hmm.
So you go, oh, I should read this book. Done. I read the book, the entire book, all 10 billion pages. And I know the story backwards and forwards now. And so libraries are closing down. All these other things are happening.
Mm-hmm.
And this one guy, the 0.5% that can't take it, he just reads books. He's basically the last librarian. But, he's considered special because he can't take this chip. Well, something happens with the mainframe and everyone basically passes out. So he has to figure out what to do with it. And because he's naturally smart, or had to learn, he figures out what he needs to do and saves the entire world.
Okay.
The final episode is a total wrap-up. It combines all of the episodes. They talk about time travel. They talk about technology's good, technology's bad.
Mm-hmm.
That
has a Black Mirror vibe. Do you think Black Mirror was inspired by Outer Limits?
I can see that. And actually, that was the other thing. Black Mirror's on the list.
Nice.
Yeah, that's a good choice.
That is a good choice. It's hard because I can see my list fluctuating. There are lots of really, really strong programs, and you just kind of hit this point where you're like, it's just so hard to say this is better than another. Uh-huh. And so, yeah, Black Mirror is a good suggestion. That was my big surprise because going into it, I had no idea what to expect, and it turned out to be really incredible. That is a great series.
I know. I was having a hard time thinking of all the shows because that's your fourth one then?
Yeah,
that's
my fourth one.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah, and Black Mirror. Like you said, first episode walked into it and was like, I wasn't 100% sure what to think about it. And I was just like, okay, I must watch the show. Watch it. I'm like, what did I just watch? I'm like, okay, let me watch the second episode because this went out there. Like, wow. And then the second episode is like, it's a totally different story, like The Outer Limits. These stories aren't technically related.
Mm-hmm.
They can be related, which they do with the Christmas special episode for the technically season three, technically just a Christmas episode, depending on depending on who you talk to. And I think that's officially it's just going to be a Christmas episode because Netflix is just going to go, we are starting the season. That was not episode one of season three.
Yeah, regardless, exactly. It does have the incomparable John Hamm from Mad Men. And I love him in that show, too. And
one of the characters that when he, the husband dies and the she ends up getting the robot, that's General Hux.
Yep.
Yeah, I know.
He's
I
the ginger guy who's in everything.
He's in Harry Potter?
Yep. Yeah, he was in Harry Potter. He was introduced, was it number four? Yeah, I think it was number four.
Yeah, he was the latter one, too. Good.
Or, no, he was the older brother.
He's the older Weasley.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it'd be number five then.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's also in Frank.
Ex Machina.
Yeah, Ex Machina and Frank and...
Yeah, so, they have fairly famous people in these. And, like, The Outer Limits is the same thing. Twilight Zone, William Shatner, Leonard Nimoy, these famous people from the time period played it. For the 90s Outer Limits, you had, both X-Files people. You just had various David Duchovny and...
And those would be fun shows to do because it's not a heavy commitment and you can just be in your episode.
Yep.
Guys, I already want to revise my list. I love Wolf Hall, but I'm going to have to replace it with Deadwood because Wolf Hall is too recent and I've only seen it once and I've seen Deadwood like four times.
I know, that's kind of how I had to filter mine too. I thought you, I was surprised you didn't say Deadwood.
Yeah, Deadwood. Deadwood belongs there.
Okay.
I guess the only hit I feel about Deadwood is that it was prematurely canceled. It does not have a satisfying ending, but because of David Milch wanting to do John from Cincinnati, which is not a good show. And yeah, it's, he has his weird situation now where he's trying to make a Deadwood movie to complete it because he lost $100 million in horse racing gambling. And it's, so
he created a show on horse racing.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. He didn't learn from his characters. But yeah, no, that is good. And then, yeah, I don't know. I like that with the Black Mirror because for self-contained stuff too, the honorable mentions would be like season one of Fargo and yeah. season one of True Detective and season one of American Horror Story. Like all these shows that started out something and then just didn't
although
go.
Fargo season two is better than Fargo season one, I
oh,
think.
Oh, yeah,
so
there you go.
Yeah, is it on Hulu yet?
No.
Oh, yeah. I'm pretty sure that you'll like that because it has a really, really amazing ending.
Yeah.
It's so awesome. Yeah, and the entire thing. And Patrick Wilson's really good. And, yeah, even, I don't know, I haven't seen many Kristen. Like, I haven't been a huge fan. I haven't watched many movies of hers, of Kirsten Dunst. But she's really good in that show, too.
Oh, that's good.
The entire cast is really stellar. And
I want to watch that. I want my one good anthology show like that because everyone keeps dropping the ball. Because American Horror Story,
I know.
It's fallen so far, Bill. So far.
It is
season
really
one was so good. Asylum was like, oh, man, you guys, you're trying too hard. And then, yeah, just no.
Yeah.
Just no more.
No more.
You don't watch it, Bill? You should watch season one.
Yeah.
I almost did. But I didn't.
Season one's worthwhile, and season two is watchable, too. But then it starts getting really, really iffy. I thought season three was...
Had a really bad ending.
It was very lukewarm, and I have no interest. Like, I stopped watching after that.
Well, in season two, its fault was, like, I don't know if they thought they were going to get canceled, so they're trying to give everyone a taste of everything, because they're like, let's do... mental illness and demons and aliens and monsters and you're
clowns.
Like, you guys, knock it off.
Though, okay, was the clowns season two?
That was season four.
Season four is a freak show.
Yeah.
But they had a killer Santa.
Ooh.
Oh,
that
yeah.
was fun.
Yeah. Ian McShane.
Yeah.
From Deadwood.
But no, but season one, it's a haunted house. It's a really good... making that classic story into a TV series. It's awesome. And it's got Quicksilver.
Nice.
Yeah. So. That is his first.
Quicksilver?
X-Men. Even Peters.
Yeah. Yeah. X-Men Quicksilver.
The good Quicksilver.
Yeah.
The one that actually can miss bullets.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's. Did American Horror Story season one come before Kick-Ass or did Kick-Ass come before that?
It was after, because Kick-Ass was like 2010 and Horror Story was 2011.
Okay, yeah, so that's Kick-Ass is really what initially brought Evan Peters up. And I'm surprised he hasn't been in more stuff because he really was the best part of X-Men Apocalypse.
I know.
As far as I'm concerned, that's the only part worth watching, really.
We had. But yeah, there's lots of really good shows. And.
There are. And The Americans is a really good show that deserves at least an honorable mention because...
And I forgot. I haven't done my number five.
What's
or
that?
My fifth,
oh, yeah.
My Flash.
Okay.
Okay. Ah!
Yeah.
He's the hero of the universe.
He's a time-traveling maniac.
I know.
Yes. Well, okay, there was that one, and there was another one. I couldn't quite remember what it was. It only had one season, but it was... about it was the same time period as the Greatest American Hero is also up there. You guys ever seen that?
No.
Mm-mm.
Okay, so there's a time traveling one where, and I couldn't remember the name, so I'd have to hunt it down. He ended up traveling to this kid's bedroom. It was a time travel. He kept on.
It's not creepy.
I don't. Well, it's like what's it? Time Bandits.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Remember like that?
Yeah.
So he ends up. accidentally, either the kid goes with him, like it's been so long, and it only made one season because the main actor died because he was goofing around and he took a prop gun to the side of his head and pulled the trigger and it had a piece of wad in it and threw it into his brain.
What? Oh.
Yeah, so that would have actually probably lasted a lot longer.
Yeah.
What happened to Beethoven's nephew?
Oh, that's
almost. Well, he survived it.
Oh, so good.
Well, yeah. Not for him. He was suicidal.
Mm.
And, like, it was deliberate for him. He was I hate my uncle. Ah.
See, this guy was just like, happy fun. Ha ha, laugh at me. And but he was trying to, like, fix time, but he didn't. His machine was broken. Kind of like, you know, Quantum Leap where he goes around. But if he didn't have Iggy with him to, like, hey, this is where the problem is. So the kid was, you know, good with history. And he's like, hey, well, these are your problems. We got to almost like, was it with the dog and from Bullwinkle?
Oh yeah, I can't remember.
I forgot what the they made a movie. I don't know, but they have to fix time, and it was interesting. Okay, but the greatest American hero. What happened is there's this outfit you put on and you gain powers. The catch is you don't know what your powers are. And the instruction book is handed to somebody else, and they tell you what your powers are and how to do these things.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to work as a team together. Well, the previous owners of the suit that the aliens gave it to, they were, you know, they ended up fighting, kind of slightly corrupted, and the aliens just took it away, going like, this is a problem. Well, so they gave it to these new people. The guy that had the instruction manual lost it. So they're kind of working their way through, stumbling, and they're working fairly well together. But they're constantly like, hey, I have this power too.
Oh, okay.
When was it released?
80, 70. late 70s, early 80s,
okay.
Around there.
Is it pretty dead serious? No camp at all?
Sure, right.
Yeah.
No, there's a lot. It's a fun. Both of them are comical, entertaining. I'll have to hunt down the time travel one.
Was it on Netflix? Because they're bringing all the oldies back.
I know, it's fun.
We're watching.
I don't know about. I could see Greatest American Hero.
We've been watching Bob Ross and Breaking the Magician's Code.
That's right.
Yeah.
Pileggi from The X Files.
Yeah.
Just doing his cheesy narration and everything. And yeah, I watched a couple of episodes of Bill Nye the Science Guy.
And remember that.
Yeah.
No, I watched these originally like on Sci-Fi when it actually was spelled S-C-I-F-I.
Instead of
When it first came on the air, when they were like, we have no budget and we have no shows, but we got some rights to play these.
Exactly. Here we go.
Yeah.
They still kind of are that way because they had their peak of, hey, we're trying to do something, and here's our Battlestar Galactica, and then we're back to B-movies.
And Sharknado.
Yep.
That apparently people love. Okay.
I know. I had to fast forward through it, and I still just know.
Just know.
Who else? Well,
they also showed Star Trek, the animated series. Trust me, it's not good.
I trust you.
Bill knew who else deserves the honorable mention is Sherlock.
Yeah, that's a really good show.
Because I watched Sherlock and Luther about the same time, and the only reason Sherlock falls off there is because Luther didn't have mediocre episodes. Sherlock had its middle episodes where you're like, ah, you're not as good as the other episodes. Yeah. And Luther's just like, I'm always awesome.
Yeah, to be fair, in defense of Sherlock, I think the third season didn't have the middle episode syndrome.
No, that one was super awesome.
But yeah, the first two seasons, it really is weird because you have incredibly the first episode is great, third episode is even better, and you have the second episode and you're just scratching your head wondering what is going on there.
Yeah.
with Flash, that's why I put some of the others too. Like we were saying that, I was thinking Lucifer.
Oh, okay.
It's a good show. Fox actually does. Not all the DC shows are up to par, but Flash is great. Lucifer's great. I'm actually enjoying Preacher.
I know. I'm going to keep watching it. I'm waiting for just the season to be over.
Yeah. I'm a little concerned because apparently they're just throwing caution to the wind and they are doing their own thing. Like they're not just the Walking Dead alterations from the original source, but they're just like, no, this is something entirely new. It's tangentially related and that's it. And the first two episodes were enjoyable. They're entertaining. I'm curious where it'll head.
Yeah. Supergirl wasn't that great, but it was great when Flash, like when Flash shows up to it, makes it a good episode. Now that Supergirl's coming to CW, they are, I'm hoping it gets a little bit better. And they've also cast the President of the United States of America.
Who's it going to be?
It's going to be Linda Carter.
Yay.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. The name seems really, really familiar.
She played Diana Princess?
Yep, yep.
Okay. Wait. Wonder Woman.
Yep.
Wanda.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's good times.
So they're going to have her, and they cast...
Didn't they cast Malfoy in The Flash? What? I heard that Malfoy's been cast in the guy who plays Malfoy in Harry Potter.
I didn't hear that.
Yeah, I forgot that Tom, what's the actor's name? I cannot recall, but.
Oh, well, we'll have to look that up, or you'll have to verify it. But they did cast Superman, and it is Tyler Hoechlin, which I was going to actually make sure to pull up his name because I was like, I actually have no clue who this guy is.
Should have gotten Brandon Roth again.
Yeah. Keep it rolling.
And
it's like, I'd do it. Yeah.
But the other thing also that sucks is CW is all like, oh, well, we're also going to cut our contract with Hulu.
Mm.
And I have to go with like 95% of my shows are CW, which means I might have to cancel my Hulu now too.
That's the thing that Netflix foresaw. They have this stranglehold on you if you don't provide your own original content. And now Hulu's going to be in its precarious position of people will flee because they want to make it on their own.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Tyler Hoechlin is from Teen Wolf, is his big stuff. Wow. Road to Perdition, Seventh Heaven.
Really?
Yeah, Seventh Heaven. Do you remember Seventh Heaven? It was an awesome show. It was on the same time as Gilmore Girls. Mm-hmm. Ended up creating a bunch of actors. Actually, what's the one with the brothers?
Father recently in trouble. Like the guy who played...
The dad?
Yeah.
Stephen Collins? I don't know.
Yeah, he was in trouble.
Huh. I know one of the sons is playing on, what's the one where they, Supernatural.
Oh, yeah. I've tried to see a couple of episodes. It's interesting. The thing that prevents me from watching Supernatural is there are hundreds of, I think it's past 200 at this point, the number of episodes. And that's, it's too many. I don't know. It was a huge chunk of my life right there.
And you're correct. Apparently, he confesses sexual abuse of underage girls to people.com.
That's the very same. Nice. I remember it.
But that was like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Wow. It doesn't matter, Bill.
I know.
I thought this was like recent news.
You meant like, get over it, people.
I was like, this is not new. Oh.
It's like, it's not such a big deal. Come on. Yeah. No,
I have not been paying attention to it. I know. Because Seventh Heaven is off the air.
I was like, Bill, I remember. Be careful there. You're going to lose some listeners.
I just remember it because
it is bad still.
When I heard that news, I remember thinking, ironic, because Seven Heaven, they're promoting the family values.
The good and living.
Yeah, and the father apparently was not living good at all.
No, that's sad.
It is sad.
Let's see.
What's Bill?
What was it? Okay, so yeah, with CW, though, pulling away from Hulu. And Netflix actually did have that problem initially. That's why they started making their stuff. Yes, that's why indeed. Hulu started making their things.
Trying.
But that... so CW is like, oh, we'll just play our stuff on our website. You can get the free episode. I'm like, no, I want an app on my Xbox. I don't want to deal with this. Don't make me stop watching you. don't make this really. I admit I have an antenna. I can do this too, but it really can get complicated sometimes. Mm-hmm. Or you know, service isn't. You know, the signal's not quite right. Starts pixelating. I'll admit, I've like, oh, I have some time. Let's watch Flash live. And 5 minutes in the episode, it's jumping, and I'm like, okay, I'm just going to watch this tomorrow on Hulu. Or maybe some clandestine.
Exactly. The go-to. It's been a while since I've had any kind of clandestine experience. I guess it was only through desperation in which I went there. But yeah, lately, I just, Netflix has all my viewing needs right now. And yeah, Joe, speaking of which, I was on an It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, which, another honorable mention. Yeah, and I was watching the season 10 episode Charlie Work. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Which is amazing. And that has they use more trickery, but they use the single shot that lasts, I think, 5 to 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is great. And yeah, there are several really good episodes of It's Always Sunny. It's amazing that 10 seasons in, it keeps up like that.
I do like comedy, definitely, for TV shows way more, because if you ask me to name like my top 10 comedy movies, I don't know if I could, but there would be ones in there to flesh that out that didn't deserve to be there, but I could easily name like lots of great comedy TV shows.
Parks and Rec, It's Always Sunny.
Yeah, you got Chappelle's Show,
yeah.
South Park, Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Yeah, they're making another season.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you get like
Big Bang Theory,
The British Office.
Yeah, The British
Office. And The American Office isn't bad either, too.
I didn't get into either of them.
Really?
Yeah.
It's mean-spirited comedy.
I can't believe I forgot an honorable, at least Rick a and high Morty. Honorable mention. Yeah. Doctor Who. Yeah. I forgot Doctor Who.
Yeah, Doctor Who deserves its ambition, but I'm sorry, Bill.
Yeah, I can't support that at all.
Okay, every fan person has their own little thing. I'll accept.
No, I feel like it's not even that. It's not your own little thing. Like, I'm in the minority of this.
Well, no, it's what super fan for some people aren't for others. Not everyone can like the exact same things.
I know.
Yeah.
So I'll accept that.
Okay. Right.
No, but I'm just saying, even though we outnumber you here, we're still the minority.
Which confuses me to no end. I will never understand Doctor Who. Neil Gaiman has the best explanation. It's the virus that can get into some people's system, but some people
are immune to it.
Yeah.
We believe wobbly, timey, wimey.
So either way, Bill, if that's the deciding factor of who survives in the apocalypse, we won't get to enjoy it together. Because either me and Jordan will survive and you will pass on, or all you Whovians will rule the world and we'll be dead. Because the virus is blocking.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever put more effort into trying to like a single show, because
I put a lot of effort into that. I honestly, I didn't get into not Serenity, that's the movie.
Mm-hmm. Firefly. I thought it was okay.
How many episodes did you watch?
I want to say like 3 or 4.
It's not comparable, because
it's one season. How many episodes are there?
There's 14 episodes in the season, but we watched I think 12 to 14 episodes of Doctor Who before we finally gave up.
Because he was still only stuck with the first. Just jumped.
We jumped around because
we watched like, Blink. I remember. We went to the top 10 Doctor Who list and we watched.
Did you at least get to find or see Captain Jack Harkness?
Yep.
Yeah, we watched that. We had, because I had Courtney too, who's a devout Whovian. I was texting her and I was like, just okay, we're watching it. I was like, explain this to me. Text me another episode. Like, we were bouncing all over the seasons.
Yeah,
we just couldn't do it. I even watched the Neil Gaiman written one. We didn't even finish that one.
Doctor Who's was it Doctor Who's Wife is where the Well, all the popular ones. I don't even remember anymore. But even the gas mask one, we're watching it.
No. That one is quirky. I'll admit, I don't think it's the best one.
People were saying that it's really scary and disturbing. The "Are you my mommy?" and we're laughing so hard at
mommy.
That.
Well, they make fun of it too. Mummies. So much.
Yeah, and then how the gas mask just kind of does a weird CG growing or whatever it is. Yeah.
Oh, come on, that's early reboot.
Well, no, what was nice, though, is that Neil Gaiman wrote a short story on Doctor Who, and I love that story.
Okay.
So that's good. I can't remember what it's called.
So there's hope.
You read the trigger warnings, his short story collection, it's in there.
Okay.
That's a great title.
Yeah.
Trigger warnings.
Yeah. Especially related to Doctor Who, because I have trigger warnings there.
So we were also talking about with the other shows, like The Walking Dead. So you guys remember how The Walking Dead ended?
Sadly, yes, I do remember.
So they started shooting the episodes, or the next season.
Okay.
So it was released on Who Died.
Mm-hmm. I don't really care, but I guess we're...
Okay, you ready?
Was it Abraham? Glenn?
Keep naming.
Cameraman?
Keep naming.
Not cameraman?
Not cameraman. Keep naming.
Dog. Squirrel in the tree.
Rick. Come on. It has to be Rick.
Oh, just... it's Nothing O'Clock. There you go. That's the story. It's good.
It's all of them.
All of them died.
They did a shoot where each of them have died.
Mm.
So in other words, they're keeping it a secret still, and they will release the right one.
That's
the
really...
one they choose.
Is it with their... part of their contract negotiations? They're like, who wants a raise? And then they're filming it on loop in the background with them just getting their head bashed in.
That's the AMC way. I actually do believe that would be it. Like, it is totally contract negotiation. I believe that.
Who's willing to take a pay cut?
There's no reason why you would film everyone getting murdered. Because you'd be like, oh, you want how much more every season?
Because they're not...
No, the fans are so like, oh, we want to know. We want to know. How dare you hide this from us?
No.
Yeah.
So it's AMC's way of going, no, we're totally going to not tell you.
It's AMC's way of sticking the middle finger at everyone, like they love doing.
But I also think AMC and Game of Thrones, even though Game of Thrones was pretty epic, mm-hmm. they're not, you know, they kind of stuttered the story. They're not bringing in new characters. They're not kill off the main characters. I don't mind if Rick dies. I don't mind if you kill Daryl, actually, and that's blasphemy.
They just brought in a ton of new characters.
But they brought them in, but, you know, these characters are not becoming like, we are learning about you, and you will become a leader, and you will become somebody important in this. We're just going to kill you because you're the Expendables.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, Game of Thrones is definitely contracting because there are 13 episodes left. That's how many, because they're going to do 2 seasons after this, and it's going to be 7.
No, they're doing 3 seasons because they're doing 2 8-episode seasons.
No. Game of Thrones, because every interview... they have said they're going for 73 episodes total.
Yeah, they end up changing that not too long ago.
No. I am...
No?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, you can fact check me, but they've been going about this for a long time because they usually talk to EW about it and James Hibbard, but they have said from the beginning that they imagine it being 70 to 75 episodes, and... even before season 6 was released, they were saying it would be 70 to 75, but probably 73. And the latest interview that David Benioff and Dan Wise have given, and they're like, call it 73 episodes.
Yeah.
Because
you're right. Yeah, there's only 13 episodes left.
Yeah, and so they're contracting the story. And yeah, and you can see that with the most recent episode, the season finale, because there's essentially all the set pieces have been arranged. You have pretty much all the factions set. The storylines have been contracted to 3 major ones, and that's what they're going to focus on.
So who do you think is going to take the Iron Throne?
Who
do you think is Queen Elizabeth?
I don't know. If they keep being predictable, it's going to be Dany.
Danny and John,
yeah.
Yeah,
but
they're going to marry.
No. Well, they can't. They're related.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's Targaryen.
Doesn't matter.
Way.
Yeah. Targaryens love it. Yeah. So that's predictable. So that's...
what if he
better
just,
than that, I don't know.
What if he just stays King of the North? What if the Queen Elizabeth is... I forgot. The only living Stark girl. Well, not Arya.
Sansa?
Yeah, Sansa.
It's possible. Well,
she is very Queen Elizabeth-esque.
They can go in a lot of directions, and it's possible. I mean, I think that this season has been predictable. I don't think most people predicted what the events that happened in episode 10.
Yeah.
I think that a lot of them, not just the major part in the first 20 minutes, but several other events were probably surprising. But I don't think that, because they have the general plot line from George R. R. Martin, including the finale, which they said is going to be pretty consistent with what he originally envisioned. I do think you'll see more of the twists that we've come to expect during that direction. So I'm hedging my bets. I want to say that it's not predictable, but yeah, we're kind of digressing. I think that Game of Thrones is headed to a certain direction. Walking Dead, they've already stated they're going for 12 seasons. They don't. They're just going to keep going.
Get me off the show, there's Carl.
No resolution at all. It's just going to spin its wheels until people stop watching it, and then AMC will say, "Well, we got the money we wanted. Now let's just cancel this."
Yeah, they're
going to
drag Negan out forever
because it's
and Fear the Walking Dead.
Ugh.
Yeah, you forgot. There's that show.
I didn't forget.
I tried to forget.
I have the card trading game, and I can totally see why they're going to drag it out. Because Topps ended up releasing cards, just like with Star Wars and baseball and
when
football.
AMC, they have nothing else besides that. Everything else is too young to call.
Right. I have heard good things about Halt and Catch Fire. Is that, Bill, have you seen that?
No.
It's about the programming or development of computers in the 1980s. Sort of a fictional, this is just my impression, or what I understand of a fictional take of Steve Jobs and Bill Gates. And so it's supposed to be pretty good, I hear. I haven't seen it to confirm. But yeah, they really are riding on The Walking Dead, just as HBO so far is just riding on Game of Thrones. And yeah, AMC is just treating it very cynically because season 6 was okay. I mean, it was enjoyable. It was empty enjoyability, but like the finale was just so terrible that it kind of put the rest of the season in perspective.
It's like, just kill them all. Yeah. Bash all their heads in.
Exactly.
All right. Well, how about we get to the movie section then?
Okay.
Sponsored by Carmike Pine Ridge 11, located at 4355 Yellowstone Avenue in Chivik, Idaho. They have their Stimulus Tuesday specials and their giant buckets of popcorn and their amazing Take the Movies and Fill Up. And if you want, you can ask for bags that you can share your bucket of popcorn with your friends if you're like me, unless you're like Joe. You don't
never share. Only with other people who own buckets.
Ah, there's that too. How long do you, if you brought in a community, like you paid the initial investment, I paid an initial investment, so it's a community bucket.
Well, that's kind of a slippery way to sneak into the aristocracy of popcorn people. But
awfully red.
Yeah. I guess it could still work.
Okay.
Because so is sharing popcorn.
That's right. Your timeshare popcorn.
Yeah.
Well, what if I bought the bucket and somebody else filled it up?
You're kind of, well.
Do they get popcorn for their labor?
Nah, you have to sprinkle it at their feet.
Okay. Yeah. I see. All right. Well, we'll go into our movie reviews. We'll go with the good movie.
Yeah.
Finding Dory.
Oh, that one? Yes. Yeah. Yes, Finding Dory. What do you guys think?
Oh, it's good.
Yeah, I was like, I almost didn't watch this movie because Nemo was cool, but it came out a long time ago that I remember liking it. And then I watched the trailer and I was like, Pixar, you don't make very good trailers. Yeah. But I thought, they're just going to retread all the territory and stuff too. But then I was banking on Independence Day, and then Independence Day, I won't watch that. And so then I was like, Dory, you're getting your Pixar reviews. That can kind of go either way because every Pixar movie seems like it gets 95%. But yeah, that movie is good. I thought it was really engaging. It told the story in a totally different way. Felt like its own movie in the same universe rather than just like retreading the last movie. They implemented all the characters well. There's really nothing I disliked about that movie.
It had a great ending too.
Yeah.
Yeah. And for those who stuck around after the credits.
I know. I missed the secret scene.
Yeah.
Did you? You left too?
Yeah. I was like, people with their secret scenes. Like, why can't they just put it in the movie? I don't need a secret scene.
It is.
Don't make
actually,
me.
Actually, the credits are highly entertaining the entire time. I didn't feel like I was, you know, like, oh, the black and white credits are rolling. No, this is, they're colorful backgrounds. This is, you know, the way Pixar does it.
Yeah.
And Disney does their thing where they, hey, there's an after credits scene.
What'd you think of the short, too? I like
that. Oh, yeah. Yes, I highly, highly enjoyed that.
Yeah, the short was really clever.
I don't think I've seen a Pixar short that I didn't like. They're really good with the shorts.
Wait, no. because they have the lamp. Did they make the Brave Little Toaster?
No.
No, that's okay. Because that's a cartoon.
Yeah, that was a cartoon, but
it's a good show.
Well, no, it. Yeah, it just
is. It wasn't. No, they've only done CG
show.
Yeah, they only do CG stuff. They haven't done any traditional.
Yeah,
animation.
Because they started out with was it Wall-E versus the two old men playing chess? Well, no, that can't be their first one because
was
they have
Toy
the
Story,
lamp
the very
thing.
First movie.
Well, that's or their first movie, but they
yeah.
started with the shorts.
Yeah. But yeah, but Dory, it was good, and Ellen DeGeneres nailed it.
Yeah,
she was really, really good at like being animated and taking a character who should be. That was the other thing I worried about too, because she's a side character in Nemo, and so I didn't know with her being a normal character if her disability would be annoying, but it wasn't.
No,
it was endearing.
Yeah.
Okay, so Pixar's first movie was Toy Story.
Yeah, his first movie. What about the first short?
Short film. Yeah, I don't know. I like all their shorts. But yeah, Pixar did it again. I need to watch The Good Dinosaur too. I missed that.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that one.
But I do like Pixar. I think they're, I don't know.
I've done a couple of missteps. I didn't.
Yeah.
The first
I never
movie,
watched Cars 2 because I didn't really like Cars 1.
Yeah, and I haven't seen the other sequels like Planes or whatever.
Yeah.
Planes was.
But
oh,
yeah,
no,
Planes was like
sequel,
a spinoff though. Like Disney just took that. I can't think.
And for their shorts, it was 1984, The Adventures of Andre and Wally.
Yeah,
P.
That's it. Ah. Okay, so it was the chess guys.
Oh, is that okay?
Yeah.
I was like, I have no clue what that is.
Yeah. So Pixar is a really great animation studio. I'm glad that I was worried about that too, because what I liked about them at first was, with the exception of Toy Story 2, it's almost like they made a point to make like a totally different world every year, and so now they're kind of going back to making sequels. But that's okay.
Yeah, if you do it well.
Yeah, it's fine, because the Toy Story sequels are all good, and this one's definitely, I liked it better than Finding Nemo, let's put it that way, and I didn't dislike Finding Nemo.
I think it
yeah
had a more interesting approach because it had a character that was, they kind of did a Hotter, where you took a character who is the butt of a joke and then made them incredibly sympathetic because you're like, now I feel really bad for this character.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, they did that effectively because you, well, I, while I was watching, I certainly felt a great deal of empathy for Dory. Yeah. Dora the Explorer, Dory the Forgetful. And
Dory in her backpack.
Yeah.
Yes.
But it's good, Bill, because I'd say in all of my like hard D's of Ninja Turtles and hard C's of X-Men, it's an A. It's good to have a movie that I was like, yes, thank you, summer, because it feels like all of June has just been, why do I even bother?
Nothing's been good since February.
Yeah, it's just...
Because what movies have we seen? We saw Batman versus Superman, X-Men Apocalypse.
We watched our Civil War.
Civil War was enjoyable.
Deadpool.
Yeah, Deadpool. But that was a February movie. Yeah.
But yeah, for the summer, it has been hard because I watched my Ninja Turtles, which was, like I said, it's stupid. It's, I don't know. It was fun to watch a movie that was like nonstop entertaining, but really good too.
So with that though, people need to go out and watch this because when I went and watched it, it was like a dozen at best people in the theater.
Yeah, we had a pretty good turnout. I went last Sunday to the Big D showing and it was pretty good. It definitely, they made their money on this one.
Well, they need to, you know, there needs to be more, but like people are not supporting it, I don't think, enough. Like I feel like this should be,
I know,
more people need to watch this one.
Yeah, no, I agree.
People
I think
maybe on the fence like you were.
Yeah, because it is, because I felt bad. I think if it wasn't for everyone else who wanted to go watch it, I probably wouldn't have gone to see it, and I'm glad I did, because even now, I'm trying to think. Yeah, well, the BFG, I might watch that. It's getting okay reviews, but I still think, yeah, compared to everything else, it's you get your Tarzan and Purge, and I still say, go watch Dory.
Really?
Yeah, probably even over BFG, because if you want your animated movie, you haven't seen one, watch Dory.
Yeah.
Of course, I haven't seen the BFG, so I don't know whether I'll like it or not.
True.
Still, it seems, I'm worried that, because Dory, it's, It is kind of a sentimental movie. But
and no bad person.
Yeah, that's good. I did a Hayao Miyazaki thing where everyone was kind of a really sympathetic character, and there wasn't the rah.
That was really impressive for children's movies too, because usually children's movies, they need someone who's kind of like guiding the actions of the bad guys, and so in their minds they can be, hey, in this movie it's just, yeah, she's finding her parents and everyone she encounters along the way is not terrible. They're all nice and helpful.
Well even the ones that aren't helpful are kind of even like, sorry, I can't help you. As soon as you remember, have fun with that. Mm-hmm. Good luck.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got important things to do too. Sorry. See,
we could learn a lot from the creatures of the ocean.
Yeah, Bill, it's interesting you point that out, because I did not think of that while I was watching the movie. But now that it occurs to me, that is pretty different.
And what was the other stuff? The technology had to advance for the octopus.
Yeah.
Because
the septipus?
Yeah, the septipus.
Yeah.
Because for it to move around, when they originally made Finding Nemo, you had to have a skeletal system. Because the way he moves and he's all liquid, now the technology will support that. Because they were talking that they could not have made him with Finding Nemo. It just couldn't have.
Yeah.
If they would have, they would have literally had to have old schooled it and drawn him.
Wow.
So now with how technology is advanced, and you can make this creature that's very...
It was. Well, the animation was so good in that. And it's
like even the short with the water and the beach, for a moment there, it looked nearly photorealistic.
Yeah. So it's good. And that is the one thing that's on there too, because like Disney with them putting out Zootopia, that's a really great movie. But I mean, that whole studio, because where they have their Big Hero 6 and Frozen and Zootopia, they have to have their villain, and Pixar's like, you don't really need it. Because even I think the other one that kind of comes to mind a little bit where they handle it good was, I don't remember. Was Up, was that guy truly villainous?
The
other guy in the spaceship?
The hero who has fallen.
I think he
was given reasons, but I think that if you're out attacking an old man and a kid, you're a villain.
So he had all that stuff, but I don't know. I like that about Pixar. I think they handle their characters really well and intelligently.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And I'm so glad to have watched that and missed out on Independence Day, because I was excited about Independence Day, actually. When I heard there's going to be sequels, and I thought, my initial thought was, this is going to be horrible. But then I let the excitement build in me. And then I started reading other people's reactions and why they didn't like it. And I was convinced.
I still plan on watching it. Yes, even though I've heard it deserves like a 1% rating.
Yeah.
I want to double check this, because I still have this like, maybe I'll be an oddball. Maybe I will enjoy this.
Bill, you just have to do the thing like I was telling you, where you have to see if you agree with how filmmaking can be that you can destroy a third of the planet and still feel like no one died. I just want to see.
Very, very Marvel.
That's clever. Clever filmmaking there. They're like, evacuate Tokyo in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, sir, we did it.
Yay. Yeah. And space just lands.
Yeah.
What's the other stuff going on? Oh, so you know about the emoji movie coming out?
No.
There's a movie about emojis coming out.
Oh.
It's going to have lots of emotions.
Is the hero going to be the poo emoji?
I have no clue. I don't even know anything about this. But there's been the talk about the Tetris movie.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I used to be a doubter of all these things, but I like the Lego movie. I thought that would be horrible, and I watched it.
But the Lego movie makes sense. You have all these characters. You have tons of blocks you can work with. The Tetris movie will have no blocks.
No blocks?
No blocks.
How is that even possible? How can you make a movie without blocks?
It is going. Tetris movie will be an epic sci-fi thriller trilogy.
Man.
There's going to be three.
You're going
of them.
For the. It seems like. Yeah, that's ambitious. What is it with making the trilogies? Because Independence Day, they're making their trilogy. Avatar, they're making their trilogy
Money.
Sequel. Well, it's a huge gamble.
Well, actually, at Independence Day, it was a trilogy sequel. It wasn't even like they were making one more film, they were making two more films.
What is it?
Independence Day?
Oh.
They still were making their trilogy sequel.
Yeah.
But okay, so Tetris, the director was like, this is something I was thinking of while I was thinking about Tetris. The idea is making order out of chaos. It won't be blocks running around. So it's going to be like some other movies that just like, oh, there's these problems. Let us put together. Actually, in reality, Dory.
Yeah. I hope it becomes.
Like Dory is actually what the Tetris movie is going to be about. Yeah. Chaos, and she somehow orders it, and everyone's like, yes.
Putting it all together.
I want it to be a prestige Oscar bait movie directed by Steve McQueen.
Exactly.
That would be amazing.
Exactly.
He's
exactly.
Like, after 12 years a slave, I'm making the Tetris movie.
Mm-hmm. But yeah. We should probably wrap things up, though. I just wanted to let that one
up.
So does anyone have any famous last words?
I will never watch Independence Day.
I will probably watch Independence Day, but in the comforts of my house, so I can abandon it.
Oh. I am going to watch Independence Day, but I'm going to walk in with that nostalgia of like a five-year-old going like, I'm going to watch this. And probably be the only one in the theater, which will be really sad.
Yeah.
But I am going to watch this.
I'm rooting for you, Bill.
Thanks.
Do it, Bill. Yeah.
And I'll come back and I'll let you know exactly what.
Yeah.
With that, bye.